Well, today as we come and seek God, and again as the Spirit has spoken of our unity, our oneness, our love for each other, very appropriate as the Lord's leading that we take bread and wine this morning, communion, and as we prepare our hearts, so also the Word of God prepares our hearts as we take this in unity and oneness. But for those of you who are taking notes, again, we've got a teaching this morning on faith, and it very simply is taken from Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And we are basing this from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. And that, of course, comes under the context of the Christian armour, which we are to have on us daily, hourly, moment. And to remind ourselves of this armour, it is good to thank the Lord for the armour that we have on. And that armour, as God has shown us, of course, really is Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is our armour. He is our faith. He is our weaponry. He is. And so, above all, taking the shield of faith. And looking in this, I'm not going to read it all because you all know this very, very well. But in the context of, as it reads about standing firm, you know, girded, your waist girded with truth and breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and so on. It then emphasizes, but above all. Above all, so it's like bringing it to its conclusion. But above all, in this armoury that we speak about, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench some of the fiery darts. Good, I'm glad you're awake. Just test you from time to time. Now, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. So whatever fiery darts are around, or you have experienced, or may experience, the shield of faith is sufficient to deal with those fiery darts. And what are these fiery darts? Well, we know what they are. These fiery darts are the trials that we walk through. Day by day, or through the week, we have trials. Most of our days will have a trial or a challenge that often has sort of a dart that is attached to it in some way or form or other. And it comes in the most diverse ways, of somebody just saying something that winds you up, or you are late for an appointment, or you got stuck in a traffic jam, or the children are just not conforming today. It can come in numerous ways, these fiery darts. And that is why, above all, taking the shield of faith. And there are times that we don't think of our faith as a shield, which is really what I want to emphasize this morning. But we have these numerous promises for our faith, these trials, everything that we go through. I just want to look at some of these before we open this up a bit more. Again, you're familiar with these in John 16 verse 33, in which he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." We've sung it. "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That was appropriate that we sang that as well. So he says that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I am your overcomer. I am the overcomer. So because he's the overcomer, you are overcomers. Because he has overcome, you overcome. That is why be of good cheer. That is what he says. Because I have overcome all these fiery darts, these trials, you too have and will overcome by the shield of faith. 1 John 5 verse 4. We're just looking at some of these promises because this is where we base our faith upon these promises. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So our faith in believing in the overcoming message, the overcoming promises, the overcomer himself, Christ, he says, you overcome the world. Now that has to be a miracle, does it not? Because no man or woman can overcome the world. It is too strong, it is too powerful, it is too clever for us otherwise. So again, we begin to realize just what Christ achieved for us when rising from the dead, that he rose and overcame even death itself. And that is why whatever you go through, whatever you are facing, you can rest in the fact that Christ has overcome. And therefore it doesn't take us by surprise. Now, one of the things that I have detected and noticed as your pastor, I'm now beginning to hear, whether I talk to you or you come to me or we hear a testimony, whatever it is, we're now beginning to learn that our trials are no longer strange, abnormal, or different. We're actually beginning to grasp, after all these years, that there's nothing unusual about it. It's not taking us by shock anymore. That I have detected. Praise the Lord, we're really getting there, aren't we? We're learning now that not only are they tailor-made, but they're not taking us by shock anymore. We know in our hearts, praise God, this is a trial. Yes, we've got to go through it. It's tailor-made, but God's going to bring us through. Yes, we may gripe and moan. We may think, God, not another one. You know, I've just got over a trial last week. Here we are faced with another one. Give me a break. But within all of that that we bring before God, the actual trials itself no longer shakes us like it used to. Because we're learning. We're learning. We're learning that above all, we take the shield of faith that deals with these fiery darts, these trials. You see? Now, this shield of faith isn't something that you put down or you decide to take up, but it is held there all the time, ready for these fiery darts. Why do I say that? Because any centurion, Roman soldier, when going to battle, one thing with the shield he never did was put it down. And the shield that is spoken of here is a shield that covers the entire head and feet. It was large and quite heavy, these shields. And of course, these shields are still used today in police force. When they come out against demonstrators, they use these shields against things that are thrown at them. And so we see with the Christian armoury that we have this shield. Above all, the shield is imperative. Now, of course, a shield only works one way, and it works in the direction of which the darts are coming. You say to me, well, what about if darts come behind? They can do. Well, you have to be skillful enough to be able to move with that shield in whatever direction those darts are coming. That is where he is trained. And that is how the Holy Spirit trains you. And that is why it is called the shield of faith. Because faith, if you believe, your Faith is in God's word, your eyes that are looking to Jesus. That shield of faith, the faith, will know exactly where those darts are coming, and that shield will protect and move in accordance. That is why it is the shield of faith. It is not just any old shield, it is the shield of faith. Right. So we've learnt from a sort of practical point of view what this shield is about. Now, our faith, as I've said, are in the promises of God's word. And the promises of God's word is our protection. We tend to so hone into the fact that the promises of God's word are promises. And indeed, they are promises. They're promises that are going to fulfill my needs, my wants, and my desires and everything. And of course, praise God, being generous like he is, loving, giving Father, like he always is, they are. But they're more than that as well. The promises of God are also protection. Because you're putting your faith in the protective word of God. That shield that works. And so we've got all these promises that are given. A promise was given to Abraham. Genesis 15 verse 1, when God made covenant with Abraham. And it says here, and after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. It's interesting, isn't it? So God already was giving way, way back, showing Abraham, a man of faith, justified by faith, he was showing him that his faith, his provision, is also like a shield. And it's in the context of Abraham, don't be afraid. Because he's walking by faith. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So God was giving a revelation to Abraham, because it's right in the context that I go childless. He's giving him a revelation here. He's saying, I am your shield, I am your protector, and I am your reward. Isn't that wonderful what God is showing him? That God, the pre-incarnate Christ, is not only his provider, protector, but he's also his reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. There he is. He's revealing that he's not only his shield, but he is his reward. And because the pre-incarnate Christ is his reward, he says, you will have a son in your old age. That is the reward of God. He is our reward. And that is why, because he is our reward, it means that God does everything with you personally. Not via man. Not via some system. He does everything personally with you. This is why we walk by faith, and that faith is a shield, and that shield is to protect you from fear, from the fiery darts, from sickness, from oppression, all those things that the enemy tries to put on us. That is why there's no fear in the perfect love of God, because he is that shield. He protects you. And not only does he protect you, but as he said to Abraham, and he says to you, I am your reward. I am God to be. When God met Moses, said, who are you? What am I to say? I am to be. There's nobody else. So the one, the great I am, is your reward, revealed in Christ Jesus. That's why you have no need of what man can give you. God uses everything, but he gives to you personally. This is why the deeper life, and part of the deeper life, is you being taught by revelation in these last days. And not va through man and his confusion and how he's not settled on the word of God, and you're sitting there and you hear part truth and then a bit of poison comes in. There's those poison darts. My, praise God, if you've got that shield, there's no poisonous darts can enter in. Because it's a shield. It won't allow it. It won't allow it. And so our faith is the promises of God's word. And in it is protection. Did you know that the truth of his word, this is why we hold to truth, the purity of truth. This is why we don't want to compromise. Do you know why? Because, again, it is our protection. Here it is. Psalm 91, verse 4. Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. A buckler simply means a smaller shield. That's all it means. So truth, purity, is again this shield. And I remind you again, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. So the word of God protects you again from these fiery darts. That is why we hold to it. And we won't adhere to that compromise, to those heresies and those things that come out week after week, sadly. It is that shield and it is that buckler. Now you see, it's almost common sense, isn't it? If you're not receiving the real truth of God's word, you're never really then going to know about this shield, are you? You're only going to know it academically. But you're never going to know it experientially. You're never going to know that that shield you take up works effectively. That is the point. And we are, all of us in this church, are getting a testimony of where we are experiencing that shield working. Are we not? That's what brings the reality of this walk. You can go and sit in a theological college and they'll expound and pontificate for hours telling you what the armour of God is, but you'll never know what it really is experientially unless you receive the truth of the word, which is your shield and buckler. So the purity, the truth, undefiled, is your protection. As you embrace it, as you believe upon it, as you confess it, as you pray about it, as you come under its anointing, it is your protection. That truth we receive week after week is preserving and keeping us from those very fiery darts that otherwise will penetrate in time. And this is why so many professing Christians, churches, sadly are going under, or will go under the Antichrist system. Because the real truth is actually not there to be experienced. And that is why we hold to the faith side, that we walk totally by faith, trusting God. That is the truth. That is the reality. And so by holding on to his word, in conflict we find this shield protects us from those fiery darts. And very often those fiery darts work in the area of doubt and unbelief. Hath God said? That was the first fiery dart that the enemy sent to Adam and Eve. And because she began to look and see and was beguiled, no longer was the shield Christ there, the protector. And of course that first fiery dart entered and penetrated into man's soul. And what was it based on? Unbelief. Questioning. Doubting. God's protection, God's provision, doubting that shield of faith. It's right there. It's right there. And so these darts that come, God uses them to keep us in battle. He uses those darts, he's in control of those darts, to keep us awake, to keep us occupied, to keep us alert, to keep us fellowshipping together, coming under the anointing, keeping us watchful in prayer. All those very darts do that to us. So God, it comes back to Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. He's using all those fiery darts so that you keep that shield of faith above all in operation, protecting, keeping in the word and prayer, keeping our ears to what God is saying. Why? Because we are aware that those fiery darts are very, very real. And they can try and penetrate. That's the nature of a dart. It's not a huge, great atom bomb. It's a very subtle, sharp little instrument. But that can do a lot of damage, you see. That is the nature. And so these darts, they keep us in warfare, they keep us watchful in battle. And that's why when you settle it, you confess it, those darts of unbelief cannot penetrate. When you keep with the confession of your faith, those darts cannot penetrate. When you keep with the agreement of God's word, no matter what your circumstances are, doesn't matter what your week's been like, doesn't matter whether you've missed it a mile off, the fact is, in agreeing, confessing, believing, keeps those darts at bay. Keeps that shield in operation. Keeps you focused, looking to Christ, and that shield there. And you know, you can experience, you know when that shield is working. How do you know? Because you hear the darts hit it and drop off. That's how a centurion knew he was winning the battle. That's how he knew that he was wielding that shield correctly, by the sound that it gave, because many of those spears hit it, but they dropped off. And so it's the same with you. You know if you're in this walk, you know if you're seeking Christ, you're looking to him, because you can hear those darts dropping off like water on a duck's back. You know. You know when you're in the place of victory. You know when you're in faith. You know when the confession's there, because you see it, you know it. You're touching God. But you know other areas when you're not. How do you know? Because those darts are trying to penetrate. And you're feeling how sharp they are. There's a prickliness to them, a sharpness to them. So they're the signs that we know when we're walking in faith and when we're not. You say to me, yeah, but you don't know the areas in my life. You don't know what's been going on for years. I just battle in areas. Well, you're still preserved. You're still kept. A fiery dart has not pierced your heart or your liver, as the Solomon speaks of. It hasn't. So you're still alive. God's still there. He's your shield. He's your buckler. He is your reward. You see, when you come back right to the basics, you come right back to Christ. And it brings it all back into focus when you see, he is my shield. He's the word to me. He is my faith. It really is such an encouragement, isn't it? It then stops all this striving, what I must do, what I must achieve. It brings you right back to a very simple, childlike faith. He is. That is why he appeared to Moses and said, I am. Praise God that he did. And that was the revelation that was taken to Israel in bondage. And that was enough for them to know that he is our faith. He is our provider. He is the one that will release us from captivity. There's nobody else who can do it. That is why, above all, you take the shield of faith. Now, in this warfare, and we are in warfare, and this shield that we take, we have, that we hold in our hands, this is where tongues is very useful. This is where speaking in tongues, particularly sometimes when we're in a trial, or it just seems as a lot of these darts are flying, I can hear them coming, one after the other, you know? They don't all come like that, but sometimes they do. This is where tongues can come in against warfare. It's that rest. It's that building yourself up in your most holy faith. It's keeping your eyes looking to Christ. It is your spirit, your soul communicating direct to God. Sometimes when you're under conflict, when you're under trial, those tongues that God has given to us are a great help and a great anchoring, particularly in test and in trial. Are you going through temptation? Start to go in tongues. Are you seeing a trial coming up ahead of you that you know you can't avoid, you've got to go through? Start speaking in tongues. Whatever the situation, start to go in the Spirit. It's a great, great help, friends. And still some of us, we're not quick enough to use them under test and trial. Or, with regard to this shield, we take it up and then we put it down. We put it down because we've lost sight of Christ. We're no longer looking to the word that we once used to. We're just not walking in that fellowship, that relationship with God like we once used to. And so the shield has gone down. And you are very vulnerable at that point. That is only the mercy of God that is preserving and protecting you. But there will come a time when he will challenge you and he will say, now you take it up. How do I mean by that? Well, he'll say to you, when the Holy Spirit's saying to you, I have given you authority in my name. I have given you the ability to speak in tongues, to war against demonic forces. I have given you my name to pray in the name of Jesus. I have given you my word. When you hear the Holy Spirit beginning to pull you up in that way and manner, that is a sign you're starting to put that shield down. And he's reminding you, he's warning you. He's showing you that in that shield of faith that we have, he has provided everything for spiritual warfare and battle. And there is no excuse. No excuse. Because the shield of faith is faith to believe in it. And it was given to you as a gift anyway. You know, we do God a great injustice when we just say, Lord, there's unbelief. I just don't believe or whatever. If we think about what we're saying, he put that faith to believe there in the first place. So how can it fail if he put it there? It's only me refusing to believe. We should call it more disbelief. It's a refusal of wanting to believe at that point. And when we can grasp that and really see that, then we're going to start coming before God and say, Father, have mercy. Forgive thou my unbelief. You say that because what you actually saw was, I didn't want to believe, but have mercy on me. And that is often what God exposes, actually. What we call unbelief, it's actually an area where I don't actually want to believe. It's like I'm digging my heels in, and we all do it. We all have areas of stubbornness. Children do it with parents. There's not one parent who's had children where a child has tried to assert its authority and by that saying, I do not want to do it. And they are rebelling against what you wish them to do. All children do it. Now that is a type of unbelief. And we do exactly the same. It's a refusal to believe. That was the sin of the children of Israel. That's why many of the disciples who walked with Christ no longer walk with him. It was a refusal. I just don't want to believe. That is it. And we all do it. And when we can face it like that, and when we can acknowledge that, and bow the knee at that, then we can come clean before God and say, Father, please have mercy, help my unbelief. Because that unbelief is simply a refusal, I don't want to believe. And I'll tell you where the enemy uses that one. Because it didn't work last time. That's where he works it. So I'm not going to believe. What is the point? It's not worth going through the disappointment. It's just not worth going through it. And that's what goes on. Still goes on with us. You say to me, Pastor, how do you know this? How come you're talking this morning, you've got my name and address on what you're saying right now? Because I'm human. And I go through it. That's how I know. And I'm pretty certain if Satan tries it with me, he's trying it with you as well. And so we just shut off. That's what we do. We shut off. But eventually, God catches up with us. You see, he'll only let us go so far with it. And then we have to face it. We have to confront it. We have to confront unbelief, disbelief. We eventually have to confront it if we want to remain in this walk and in this church. Because that hinders you in other areas of breaking through. Are there areas where you just find it impossible to believe, it seems? You're not breaking through, or it just seems impossible in certain areas, believing the promises of God's word? Well, there's areas of disbelief. There's areas where you've dug your heel in. I'm not going to. But eventually, God catches up with us. Praise God, that is the shield of faith. Praise God, he is our reward. Because he's our reward, as he showed Abraham, so because he's our reward, he wants to give you that reward, which is Christ himself. He's got to remove anything that will hinder you receiving that reward. Don't we serve a God of love and mercy, eh? Eh? We really do. He just doesn't give up on us. Hallelujah. And finally, as I bring this teaching to its conclusion, again, like I often do, I found myself thinking about this shield, the shield of faith. And I thought, yes, it is essential. It is a requirement. And God is teaching us to use it to come against these fiery darts simply because the church will face the final battle of its history. As we're being prepared for the final conflict with the powers of darkness. And that can only be achieved by the Church of Jesus Christ. Governments, politicians, kings, queens cannot stand against this final conflict. The only ones who will stand against this final conflict is the church, the bride of Christ, the overcomers, the first fruit. And that is why we're being prepared for it. Now, I shared with you some years back part of the victory, the warfare, bringing down the powers of darkness, bringing down, destroying Satan's kingdom. part of this victory that is won is endurance. By simply staying, remaining in with what God has given to us, being faithful with what we have, is part of the victory of dividing Satan's kingdom. It is endurance. It is faithfulness. It is remaining obedient to the things that God gives and not moving off on some other tangible thing. That is part of the victory. Because I ask God these questions years back. Well, how is this going to be? I mean, you know, you've got all these imaginary things, you know, we're going to sort of go out on marches, or, you know, we're going to go into governments and speak to them, thus saith the Lord, and so forth. And I'm not saying that that might not happen. But how is actually God going to do this? And I knew it was going to be a way that man could never fathom or work out. But God is gracious. He does give you certain revelation and certain insight. And one of the things he clearly revealed to me, he said it will be endurance, faithfulness, that will be very powerful in dividing Satan's kingdom. And of course, that's exactly what a soldier is. That is what he is trained for. For faithfulness, to command, to be obedient to the things that he hears, not to question. And so very often, when the centurions got into warfare, all they simply had to do was stand in these huge long lines. And when they had battle fatigue, they then just slowly moved with their shields, and they go to the right, and the other at the back run to the left, takes over and moves in front. They often moved like this, slowly. You've seen it in films. And then a new batch would take over. Well, what are they doing? They're showing endurance. They're showing stability. They're like a wall. And they don't move. They remain there as the battle goes on. And that's exactly the same with what the church is doing and will do for the last day. There's coming a point when those darts, those weapons that Satan is using now against the church of Jesus Christ, against the overcomers, there's coming a point when he won't have anything left to use. Have you ever thought that about the enemy? Of course. He's only created. He isn't God. He's not omnipotent, omniscient. There's a point when he hasn't anything else to use. That is why the book of Revelation shows he unleashes the powerful demonic forces of the last day that come out of the bottomless pit. Why do you think he's unleashing those? Because that's all he's got left. Now, I'm not saying that they're, you know, just a walkover. Don't get me wrong. But the point is, he's giving himself away. We see it in the scriptures. And the church, as she moves with the overcomer Christ himself, and as she's obedient to him, looking to him, we overcome him. We have to, because Christ has overcome. He is our overcomer. As we are overcomers, as he has overcome, we've overcome. He is our shield. We take up our shield. We're taking up him. He is our reward. What is the reward? Many rewards, but one of the rewards is putting down of Satan's kingdom, stronghold. That is a reward to the overcomers. That is why they're coming back with him to rule with a rod of iron, to restore God's government upon the earth. They're all part of the rewards, you see. And all he asks of us is just to stay with it. Stay in. Because we've all been tempted. We've all felt some of those darts of saying, get out of this. Get a life. It's going to be far better the other side. You can get, you know. We've all been tempted with it. We all. But it's the grace and mercy of God that keeps us in. Because we know it's the grass is no greener on the other side. It's Satan's lie. It's one of his biggest deceptions that he uses. we know that it isn't true. Well, there we are, friends. Above all, taking the shield of faith. It is a shield of faith. It is your provision. It protects you. It covers you. And it is real. Hallelujah. Well, let's prepare our hearts now as we take of these elements, this bread and this wine. It's reminding us of God's provision, God's mercy, God's ever-giving love. Every day His love is ever flowing out, giving, providing, helping, restoring, protecting, reviving, whatever. Whatever your circumstances, the love of God is giving out, refreshing. And here is His provision that He gave to us, His body, His blood, shed for us, once and for all, that He would make a new covenant with man, a covenant this time that can never be destroyed, never altered, never changed. Did you know that? That this covenant that we have with Christ, this new covenant, and as we take of this bread and this cup, is a covenant that can never be altered, can never be changed. And all the while you believe in that, it never changes.